That's a good question. So Rashi, so there's two approaches. One approach is that Isaac is understood that he came back with him, and so therefore it doesn't have to say. Because the storyline is that Abraham afterwards does the whole purchase. So where was Isaac? Isaac was with him. It's self-understood. That's one approach. The other approach, which actually is most of the commentaries quoting the Midrash, is that Isaac was actually not there. Where did he go? So there's two opinions in the Midrash. One opinion is he stayed in Gan Eden. He stayed in paradise in Gan Eden for 3 years after the Akedah in order to recuperate, so to speak, to acclimate himself back to the physical world. Because when Yitzchak was, and Rashi actually does mention this a little bit by hinting a little bit, not overtly, later on, because what happens is that when Yitzchak was brought up as a karban, he had an extreme level of elevation of like a change of personality, almost a change of state. He actually became a karban. He wasn't slaughtered, but he, without being slaughtered, he became that holy, very special state he attained, and it took 3 years, therefore, to get back into the world. And later we find that he became blind. This is the story of this week's Parsha, and and the story of the blessings that he gave when he was blind. So Rashi, even there, asks, how come he became blind all of a sudden? And Rashi explains two explanations. One explanation is either from the smoke of the incense of his daughter-in-law or daughter-in-laws, who were means Esav's wives, were idol worshiping. And in the house, they used to burn incense to idols. And that smoke made him blind. It means he was so sensitive to anything negative that his vision was affected either voluntarily or involuntarily, meaning either voluntarily, he didn't want to have any, he didn't want to see it. So therefore, he sort of made himself go blind, so to speak, not to see it, or affected him negatively. And then why would Yitzchak be so sensitive? And the answer is because once he was a karban, he was very sensitive, with different personality. So Yitzchak being offered as a karban clearly made a personality change in his physical makeup, and he became much, much more spiritually sensitive, spiritually delicate. So anyway, he stayed, according to this opinion of the Midrash, he stayed in Gan Eden for 3 years, and that's why he wasn't at his mother's funeral, which happened right away. Another opinion of the Midrash is that he went to study Torah, just like Abraham had previously gone to study Torah, even though it doesn't say it clearly in the Chumash, but that's what the Medrash says. He studied Torah with Shem and with Aver. Shem and Aver ran a yeshiva in Yerushalayim, which is where he was. So Har HaMoriah is in Yerushalayim. So he stayed, according to this opinion in the Midrash, in Yerushalayim, studying Torah rather than go back down south to Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva is south of Jerusalem. He stayed in Jerusalem. So that's the two opinions. And in fact, he wasn't there. So according to those opinions, as I mentioned to you, Rashi's opinion seems to be that he was in fact there. Okay, so we spoke about Yitzchak and about the Akedah. So that's an interesting thing. Chapter 39, we talked about the idea of the angels and the difference between the way the angels serve Hashem and the way the neshamas serve Hashem. And we spoke about the idea of serving Hashem with a certain type of understanding and based on intellectual understanding versus serving Hashem and doing the mitzvahs with an emotional level of attachment. What's the difference? So we explained that the difference is where does your energy come from and what are you motivated to do? And we explained that there are four worlds, four stages. As the energy from Hashem comes down into this world, it passes through levels and it passes through stages. And in each stage, the energy gets transformed a little bit so that it should be able to produce at the end of the day this physical world. What that means is that if you have the energy too powerful, this physical world will not be a place where you have free choice. You'll very clearly see Hashem's presence. And if you're standing in Hashem's presence, then you can't do anything wrong. And if you can't do anything wrong, then you can't get reward for doing something right. So there is a plus and a minus, we explain, to having closeness to Hashem. The plus is you're close to Hashem. The plus is that you see clearly the holiness. You have this incredible sense of appreciation and excitement and pleasure and actual enjoyment from Hashem's presence. It's like, imagine a person, on our level, to explain this, a person who really appreciates, let's say, classical music, and you have a recording of classical music, and you have a bad recording of classical music, and then you have a concert where the orchestra is actually playing. And in the concert, you could have a close seat, or you could have a far seat in the balcony, or a close seat right in front of the orchestra. The closer you are, if you appreciate classical music, the closer you are, the more you have an enjoyment and excitement and so on. And that's what it is. So the person who is close to the class, to the orchestra playing, has almost no choice but to be wrapped up in the spirit, in the energy of the music. Whereas if you're far away, you have to make a conscious choice to listen in and to try to focus and to try to appreciate and try to understand the difference between the musicians and the difference between the instruments. So Hashem wants to give us reward. Hashem wants to give us a certain sense of greater energy than he gives us automatically. And therefore Hashem creates for us a situation where we have to struggle and we have to work hard to appreciate. And the only way for that to happen, according to the Zohar and according to the Kabbalists, is for the energy of Hashem.
Так, I need your help.
Hashem's energy to be attenuated, to be sort of chopped down as it goes further and further. And as we said, we speak about four levels, four general levels. So these are the four worlds, and the energy becomes less and less intense as it goes through the worlds until it eventually creates this physical world. Now, the energy in each of the worlds, we explain, has a different effect on the beings, on the creations, on the things that are in that world. When you're closer to the energy, you're able to understand. If you're farther, you can't understand so much anymore, and then you have an emotional attachment. So for example, what's the difference between a parent and a child if something is about to happen? Let's say we talk about Ukraine, the war in Ukraine. So we talk about that's a bad thing. A person that understands and has more information and understands the power of a missile, let's say, every time you hear the news that a missile is being shot, you're shaking, you're trembling, because you know what a missile can do. A little child that doesn't understand the power of a missile and only hears the boom and hears the shaking of the ground is also afraid. But their fear is a different kind of fear. It's not a fear that's based on understanding. It's a fear that's an emotional fear. It's because if you're standing in your house and your house is shaking, and the ground around you is shaking, and God forbid you see the building next to you falling down, all kinds of terrible things, you become afraid. Plain and simple, this is the normal human reaction to danger. You don't understand why it's so dangerous, but you become afraid. So that's an example on the bad side. On the good side, there's also plenty of examples that you can understand from good things happening. You want to see how you're invested in the stock market, let's say, and you understand how the markets work, and you're invested in a certain stock, and you see how things are going, and you know you're going to make a profit. That's an amazing thing. But then there's people who don't get it, and they see the market moving, and they say, oh, probably I'm going to make a profit. You're not 100% sure. So this is, again, based on intuition as opposed to based on understanding and appreciation. Beings that are in the higher worlds, their relationship with Hashem is based on an understanding. It's based on intellectual. So those are both the tzaddikim, the neshames, and also the malachim, the angels, that are in the higher worlds. The neshames that have an attachment and get their energy from the next levels, the lower levels, their appreciation and their understanding is based on an intuition, a feeling, an emotion. And that is the first difference between the worlds. Now, the Rebbe is explaining that the higher worlds is intellectual, the entities, whether it's a malach, an angel, or a neshama, a tzaddik, who has an attachment to the world of Atzilos, let's say, has that kind of an appreciation for Hashem. The neshamas that have and the malachim and the angels that have an attachment to the lower worlds are based more on emotion, intuition. Now, the lower you get and the farther you get in down this chain of energy that comes down, the less there is the intellectual understanding, and the more we're based on emotion, the more we're based on intuition, the more we're based on how we are reacting as opposed to how we're understanding. So everybody understands in their life, you can be a reactor or you can be proactive. You can be reactive or proactive. Reactive has to be based on understanding. Proactive has to be based on understanding. In order to be proactive about something, you have to know that this is what's going to be happening, and therefore you take certain steps to either make it happen this way or make it happen that way, or to avoid some bad thing if you understand some bad thing. Reactive means the thing is happening and you are simply reacting to what's happening. Why are you waiting to be reactive? Is because you don't understand, or because you're just incapable of being on that level. So this is also another difference. The Alter Rebbe explains to us here what the difference between doing mitzvahs, in other words, based on a reactive level versus based on being on a proactive level. A person does a mitzvah, why? Because my life is bad, and therefore I need Hashem to help me, so I'm going to give tzedakah. You understand? Or let's talk about a positive. My life is very good. All of a sudden, I had miracles happen to me. I got recovered from the illness, or I won the lottery. So I feel so grateful to Hashem. I'll give 10% to tzedakah. I'll give 10. Let me just see 1 second. I'll give 10% to tzedakah. You understand? That is called being reactive. And that's based on an emotion. Why is it an emotion? You don't understand the value of your mitzvah. You don't understand the value, you know, what happens when you do a mitzvah. But you feel that you're desperate, so to speak, because God forbid something bad is happening. Or you feel so happy and grateful. So that feeling motivates you to do a mitzvah. Now, that's a wonderful thing. And it's an amazing thing to do any mitzvah for any reason. But we understand that if a person is proactive and it's not, you're not motivated by something that is pushing you, but you're pushing yourself. So we understand that that's a higher level. We understand that this is an individual that understands the value and the value of the mitzvah, understands the spiritual energy that you're creating, and therefore you don't wait for something to push you, but rather you are proactive. You are doing this mitzvah in order to create energy, whether or not you need it, quote unquote, whether or not you feel the need, or whether or not you feel the gratitude. And it could be even the opposite. Could be a person absolutely doesn't understand or doesn't see the connection, but you do it anyway because of your understanding that it's good, or you're learning. Maybe you don't understand that deeply, but you have learned that it's good. So this is a much deeper attachment to Hashem. We understand this, right? If you have a friend and the friend does you a big favor, so you, in return, you do a favor. So, you know, you feel so grateful. Or you have somebody who could do you a favor that you really need, and therefore you go and you buy them a present for their birthday, and you go and this, and you make sure to meet them, this and that. Why? Because you're going to get something from it. So, yeah, it's a wonderful thing. But we understand that if you don't see the connection, but you value that other person, and therefore you're doing it, not because... So clearly this is a higher level of friendship. It's a higher level of care. You care about that person, not about yourself. So this is clearly a difference between the different levels of energy. Now, again, doing any mitzvah for any reason creates energy. That's the way Hashem set it up. But there are different ways to show different levels of closeness, different levels of care and concern for the mitzvah that we're doing. So the Kabbalistic terminology, we call this the different worlds, the different levels of energy, where the higher levels of energy are intellectually based. We do things because of our understanding, meaning we're not